Good morning and welcome once again to In Focus. I'm John Sims, and joining us yet again several times over the last several years, and always great to have you back, Daniel Anderson, Assistant Scout Executive and Chief Operating Officer of the East Texas Area Council of the Boy Scouts of America. As always, Daniel, welcome. Great to have you with us.
John, great to talk to you. I'm always happy to talk about scouting and always happy to visit with you.
You bet. Don't forget, InFocus is available online. Just go to ktbb.com/InFocus, and InFocus is uploaded to our website by the day after the show airs. Daniel, a little over 7 years for you now in the East Texas Area Council, and I guess you've been the Assistant Scout Executive and COO that entire time. Tell us a little bit about the history of scouting, how far back it goes. Very familiar material, but just briefly, and then how far back scouting goes in East Texas.
Sure. Well, scouting came from England to America in 1910, and it didn't take long for East Texas to kind of jump in right after that, but it was very community-based. It was kind of fractured, and each little community had its own council, and so it wasn't until 1930 that what we know today as the East Texas Area Council came to be formed, and it's been in continuous operation since then. We've actually added a couple counties, and we continue to grow. So 1930 is kind of what we consider the origin of East Texas scouting.
All righty. And based in Tyler, but it stretches a pretty good ways. Longview down to Palestine, Nacogdoches, Lufkin area, East Texas Area Council?
Absolutely, yeah. We've actually had some really good growth in Harrison and Gregg counties. So that sort of Marshall east of Longview. We've had some success in Henderson and Palestine, so definitely. And we even go all the way down sort of east of Lufkin, too, into that St. Augustine area.
Oh, so. Okay. And, of course, it's divided up into different districts. The Tyler area would be one district. Jacksonville, where I got started in scouting through the exploring program many years ago, was in a different district. So one council and divided up into different districts.
Four different districts. I was just in Jacksonville earlier this week for an award ceremony. So Jacksonville scouting, actually, I should have highlighted that, one of the areas that's going really well.
Well, you knew I was going to do it anyway, right? Okay. Basically divided up into five different programs, as it's been for many, many years. Boy Scouts, Cub Scouts, Explorers, Venture Scouting, and Sea Scouts, which we can talk about a little later on maybe in the show. And meantime, refer people to your website, which is etexscouts.org, and 903-597-7201 is the phone number. You're on Facebook, and you're still at 1331 East 5th Street, although it's not your grandfather's scouting office anymore. We're going to talk about that a little bit later on as well.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
Okay, now, the big question. COVID-19 continues to rage on. We're starting maybe to see a little bit of light at the end of the tunnel. We certainly hope so, but let's talk about 2020. Did 2020 greatly diminish or curtail operations for the East Texas Area Council?
Well, we had to take a little pause, obviously, in the spring, like everyone did. But one of the things that we try and teach is the motto of the Boy Scouts, which is be prepared. And in order for us to be prepared to continue to offer our outdoor program, we had to make some adjustments because we want to keep safety in mind. We want to make sure that we are ensuring that, you know, we can hold an event responsibly. So we made some changes to how we plan events, how we execute events. And it did diminish the number of scouts we could have at any individual event, but it didn't really take away from what we are. We were still able to operate. We did have to sort of innovate a little bit, change our focus. We learned how to do Zoom merit badge classes or how to conduct virtual roundtables for leader support. So we adapt, we overcome, and we are prepared.
All righty. Be prepared. That should have been the first thing that popped into my head when I asked that question, because that is the very well-known scout motto. Now, were you able to hold the scout camps this past year?
Well, we did. We actually, through some coordination with the State Department of Health Services, through our national camping accreditation programs, and because we were very fortunate to have a medical officer who kind of took on the role of public health officer. Normally at a summer camp, we've got one medic, right? Someone who's going to handle poison ivy and skinned knees. We had to adapt, and we went to three medical officers this past summer. Someone who is just looking at COVID mitigation practices, someone who is going to handle the day-to-day bumps and bruises of a scout camp, and then someone who is going to kind of look at bigger compliance-related issues. So by going from one medical officer to three medical officers, following the state guidelines, we could still operate at 50%. So it did cut down on the number of total kids we could have, But we still had the same merit badge classes operating in the same dining hall at the same camp. We were able to maintain just that little bit of consistency and continuity, which for kids who had been out of school for a few months at that point was really valuable, I think. So we had to do it safely. We had to do it responsibly. But we also had to do it.
Okay. Talking to Daniel Anderson, Assistant Scout Executive and Chief Operating Officer for the East Texas Area Council of the Boy Scouts of America. I'm John Sims, and this is In Focus. Talking about camps, were these the ones that are held at Camp Pirtle in Panola County? Or do you
yes,
have
it is. Yeah, on the beautiful shores of Lake Merval, southwest of Carthage. You know, the limiting factor was the dining hall. You know, since we were outside, it was easy to maintain social distance. Most of our classes, you know, when you're on a BB gun range, you have to stay 6 feet from other people anyway. So we were able to successfully keep that distancing at camp. It was only the dining hall where we really had to focus in, no pun intended within focus, but make sure that we were really following the appropriate health and safety guidelines.
All right. So all things considered, it sounds like everything went about as well as it possibly could have under the circumstances.
Absolutely, especially as we started to get later in the year and we really figured out what was going to work. You know, we were fortunate that we were able to not have any incidents. I know it's easy to say after the fact that something was successful, but we really think the planning that went in ahead of time, the willingness of our volunteers to continue to come to camp, and the dedication that they have to making sure that these youth receive a quality outdoor program really made a big difference for us.
Okay. New building, same location in 1960, and that's 61 years ago. Hard for me to believe. Of course, I was in second or third grade at that point, so it shouldn't be that hard to believe. But 1960 is when you opened the office at 1331 East 5th Street across from Tyler Junior College, and you're still there, but it's an all-new building. Let's talk a little bit about that process, how you decide, and I think we were talking about it the last time you were here. It was in the planning stages at that point, but how that came to be and the whole nine yards, the advantages of it, and what we're looking at now with your new building at the same location.
We're so excited that we were both able to retain that iconic location, but also really make the building more functional. You know, when it was built in 1960, it was really modern at the time. Mm-hmm. And some of the things that we were able to offer in terms of having a photo development in a dark room, and in terms of being able to offer reprographic services and things like that, right? Not everybody had access to that in 1960. So we were really cutting edge when they developed it. But as time went on, we realized it was not serving scout leaders. It was not really an operational space for the community to come in. And it got to the point where it wasn't even really serving our business needs. And so after having, you know, our routine inspections and really looking at our usage plan, the East Texas Scout Foundation, which owns the building, decided we really needed to make some big changes. And if you're going to make big changes, you've got to look at what does the building do. So we really wanted something that both spoke to the strength of scouting in East Texas. We didn't want to look like an antiquated, dated, pink-bricked building. But we also wanted to make sure that we had a functionality. And so we kept essentially the same square footage. The building didn't get any bigger. The building just got a lot more visible, and it got a lot more use. So the conference room that we have now is going to be open to outside groups or can be used by scout groups that want to come in and have this available space. The storage has been redone so that a lot of program materials that were housed off-site before are now brought into a centralized location and accessible to troops and packs that want to check those out, almost a program library, if you will. So we can do a lot more with this building, but at the same time show that we're still here, that we're still strong, and that we're modern.
Okay, so you're fully operational as of about 10, 12 days ago. For a while now, you've been in that location. What does fully operational mean? What are you doing now that you weren't doing maybe a couple of weeks back?
It was the store. We've got a brand new scout shop that is now available, and we wanted to make a lot of those products more visible. And we've always had good stuff in there, whether you're just a recreational camper or obviously if you're a scout. We've always had things that were going to be valuable, but with the way our old shop was set up, it was kind of packed in on itself. So you kind of had to know what you were looking for in order to find it. Now it's much more wide open. It's got a lot of natural light. You can really see the products. We've actually expanded a little bit of what we offer. So the store was kind of the last piece to come online, but it is really humming right now.
Mm-hmm. Talking to Daniel Anderson, East Texas Area Council, Boy Scouts of America, I'm John Sims. This is In Focus, and one of the things that really strikes me, you're reaching out to the community. You want people to feel free to come in, whether they're involved with Scouts or not. You've got that conference room available to the community at large. How do you feel the community's responded thus far? I know it's still pretty early in the game.
Well, we were really thankful that the Chamber of Commerce did such a good job promoting our ribbon-cutting ceremony back in December. Even though we hadn't moved into the building at that point, we really wanted people to come in and just see what it was going to look like and what it was going to be able to do and how it could kind of change the perception of scouting in terms of its accessibility. And so thanks to the Chamber for being so welcoming and being so accommodating and helping us promote that. And I think it's taken off. I mean, we've had people reaching out to us just to want to come check it out. We had a former donor of ours just stop by and say, I heard it was open, wanted to come see it, and made a contribution to that annual campaign. Mm. It was just great. I think just by being encouraged about something new, you know, Scouting is so proud of its traditions. And part of what makes us such a great organization is that we've been so consistent for so long. So when you can show people that we're maintaining that same consistency, but in a beautiful new facility, it's really the best of both worlds.
Very good. Again, talking to Daniel Anderson with the East Texas Area Council, Boy Scouts of America. I'm John Sims. This is In Focus. You can find the Scouts online at etexscouts.org, also on Facebook. Location, still 1331 East 5th Street after 61 years, across from Tyler Junior College. And the number is 903-597-7201 if you want to give them a shout. Some new faces to the Boy Scouts, and you say especially in volunteer leadership with your executive board and foundation.
And we're really excited that we've got a new board president, John Murphy, who comes from a long scouting family in the Tyler area, is our new board president, and has a background with the Philmont Staff Association, has a really firm belief in the benefits of the outdoor program and the character and building and education, but is also coming in with a really good mindset in terms of how to manage our budget to maximize our output.
So Philmont being the big scout facility in
Cimarron, New Mexico,
yeah. That's been just a big draw for people in all areas of the scouting program for many, many years. But anyway, go ahead and continue.
Yeah, forget, not everyone knows that Philmont is a cultural touchstone, so thank you for providing that background. So John Murphy is our new council president, and you say, well, what happened to the person who was council president? Well, Tom Prothrow of Prothrow Wilhelmy, the CPA firm, has moved over to now be our foundation president. And so he's managing some of our endowment. He's making sure that we're secure going forward to the next 61 years in this building and the next 110 years of scouting. And so he has been a great leader for us, but is now in a new position. And we wanted to work on reaching out to school districts. So Ashley Kutak from Mentoring Minds, which is a successful local curriculum development company, is going to be our new VP of membership. We wanted to make sure that we had a school district connection, so we've had one of the associate superintendents from Pine Tree ISD over in Longview join our board, Debbie Terry. So we're really excited that we're sort of expanding our reach. You know, for the longest time, you were either a past scouter or a lawyer or a banker, and that's what our board was. And over the last really 5 years or so, we've really started growing what that volunteer leadership looks like. So we're really excited about being able to sort of reach further and do more.
Specific skills and skill sets for specific tasks. It sounds like you're taking a more strategic, and I know maybe that word's a little overused, but still very valid, a more strategic approach to not only your program in general, but specifically for purposes of this leg of the conversation, how you're developing your leadership team.
Yeah, exactly. You want to use the right tool for the right job, and we want to make sure that we've got people who have that successful professional background that can bring their expertise to our volunteer organization.
Now, COVID-19, it's still a very mixed bag. On the one hand, we hear negative news. The shots aren't getting out as quickly as they should. On the other hand, we hear that 40,000 people in East Texas have been vaccinated. I guess we're really in a state of uncertainty right now about the COVID-19 situation, although I think we're all kind of trying to look as much on the bright side as we can. With that in mind, what can we look forward to as of right now, as far as you know, during the spring and the summer for scouting?
Well, we want to be smart and follow the guidance that scientists give us. You know, a scout is obedient, and so when we're instructed we need to be wearing masks. We're still requiring masks at our events. We're still trying to maintain a limited number of people in an enclosed area for a certain length of time. But again, we don't want to take away from the experience that these scouts have signed up for. So we're still going to conduct a Pinewood Derby, which is where, you know, you ask an 8-year-old to transform a block of wood into a race car and then shoot it down an inclined plane and race against their friends. And it's an exciting part of, you know, an introduction to engineering and STEM education. So here these kids think they're racing model race cars. We're actually teaching them something about engineering at this early age. But it's fun. And what was fun about it is when we would have our district-wide Pinewood Derby, you're getting hundreds of people into a room and you're playing engines revving. And, well, we can't do it like that. But we don't want to take away from what they're doing. So we're going to do it in shifts. We'll have the kindergartners race at one point, and then they'll clear out. And first graders come in after. And so we're just trying to limit the number of people who can be in sort of one room at one time. But we still have our outdoor programs planned. There's a Cub Outdoor Weekend planned for April that we're really looking forward to. And again, we've kind of established what our best practices are for COVID mitigation at camp and how we can operate the dining hall safely. We are still moving forward with summer camps this year. We're hoping that, you know, we can increase our capacity a little bit, that maybe by summer things have started to open up again. But we're still moving forward. We just have to make sure that we are moving forward wisely and responsibly.
You bet. Talking to Daniel Anderson, Assistant Scout Executive and COO of the East Texas Area Council of the Boy Scouts of America this morning on In Focus. I'm John Sims. Questions? Give the Scouts a call at their long-term but all-new facility at 903-597-7201. That, of course, on East 5th Street across from TJC. And let's see, etechscouts.org is the website, and you are on Facebook as well. I understand you also have some new equipment that you're going to be putting to work this summer.
We're really excited. So end of last year, this is the fun part to talk about, we got a grant from Cabela's and Bass Pro Shops. And it was not unexpected. We, you know, applied for it, but we thought they were going to kind of tell us what we got. And instead, they came back and said, well, we'll go shopping. What do you guys need? Here's your budget. Why don't you go pick out what you need for camp? And so we went through and, you know, there's some basic safety equipment, things like personal flotation devices and new ear protection. But then we kind of got to the point where it's like, well, what do we really want to move forward to advance the program? And I did not realize just how much range there was in terms of kayaks. I tend to think you put it on the water and you've got your paddles, and but there's so many different types of kayak. So I got to learn a lot about watercraft. Who knew? Right. Well, if you go to Camp Pirtle this summer, you're going to get to know because we got four brand new, beautiful, sleek kayaks that we're going to get to debut as part of our aquatics program. We got a new clay thrower for our shotgun range. So we really kind of keep building and refreshing some of the equipment that's out there. So you can still offer these things that are the legacy programs within scouting. Let's do it with brand new equipment. Let's make it fun. Let's make it exciting again.
All righty. The obvious elephant in the room, and I know that over the past several years, East Texas Area Council has done a good job of working around this, but National Council's bankruptcy case and all the issues with the changes that have happened in the scouting program, and unfortunately, the sexual assault-oriented things that have come up over the years. Don't want to dwell on it, but we can't get away from it. And every time you come in, we're honest about it up front and letting people know how that stands and where East Texas is in that big picture.
Well, obviously a difficult topic. If you were to just read the national news, it's all doom and gloom. It's a lot of very dark, disappointing, upsetting things about the changes that are going to have to happen at the National Council. It paints a very negative picture. And there are certainly some areas that we need to make sure we're taking responsibility for. But when you look at scouting in East Texas, the 17 counties that we serve have not filed for bankruptcy. We're an independent nonprofit, and we're strong, and we're growing, and we're still moving forward. If you look at the number of claims and cases that are specific to East Texas, it is well below the national average. If you look at the number of those that have documentation or reports, even from these victims, of the worst possible case you can imagine, it's very few. Well, one is too many. We believe these survivors. And we believe that their stories need to be told and heard. But I don't want you to believe that it is the end of the Boy Scouts, especially in East Texas. Mm-hmm. We are making sure that we are working with the national attorneys to provide the documentation from the records that we have to validate the claims, not attempt to invalidate the claims, attempt to validate the claims.
Mm-hmm.
So we're taking this seriously, but I want to make sure that everyone understands it is the national office, not the independent local councils, that have filed for this bankruptcy. And it's a Chapter 11 versus a Chapter 7. I'm not an attorney, so getting into all the differences would be a little bit too much minutia for this show. But the idea is you go into one with a restructuring plan.
Mm-hmm.
You go into one with talking about what happens next.
Right.
Excuse me. And that's that's where we are with our national council. It's what's going to happen next. How can we make sure that we answer for what has happened while still providing for the future, while still making sure that what happened 60 years ago doesn't impact what happens to scouts in the future. So it's serious, but it is not the end of scouting, especially in East Texas.
Mm-hmm. Scouting still going very strong on all levels, and we're talking about the different programs, Boy Scouts, Cubs, Explorers, Venture Scouting, Sea Scouts. We got it all going on in East Texas, and still, again, a very strong program. And to me is the fact that you've moved into a new or just renovated your facility into something brand new is as much a signal of that as anything else. Now, the impact on local scouting from the national news, I know we covered some of it just now. We covered some when we were talking about COVID-19. Is there anything more specific you want to say about the impact on scouting from the national news we've been getting, say, over the last year or so?
Well, just that we want to make sure we continue to be as visible as we can. Given the pandemic, any opportunities we get, we got to change the narrative a little bit, I guess, on national news. You know, we added girls to the program, which I know made a lot of national news 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Since then, we've now had 4 female Eagle Scouts in East Texas.
Mm.
And that's national news. That's a big deal that now young women can learn the leadership and develop the same outdoor skills that we were teaching before. Now, they do it in separate troops. A lot of people think we have co-ed scouting, and that's not the case. It's a separate troop that serves girls from the troops that serve boys, but they're still earning the same rank.
Mm-hmm.
They're still doing the same requirements. So I think that's part of the national news that we want to talk about is the productive changes that have happened. And you know, we are still, like I said, taking the pandemic seriously with regard to our events, but we want to make sure that we continue to have those events to combat some of the national news that make it seem like our organization isn't moving forward. So hopefully we are, you know, by presenting the new building to the public and inviting people in, by continuing a lot of our campaigns that are reaching out still to elementary age students, as we will throughout the year, by continuing to reach out to new chartered partners, new churches and civic groups that want to bring scouting to the youth they're already serving, we're going to continue to grow the numbers. You know, we had a difficult time with recruitment this past fall just because we couldn't have a presence in elementary schools the way we're used to.
Right.
So we've got to figure out how do we reach families electronically, or how do we still maintain a presence where we can, you know, invite people to join scouting without actually showing up to do that.
Okay. Daniel Anderson, East Texas Area Council, Boy Scouts of America, our guest this morning on In Focus. I'm John Sims, and talking about how you fill that gap, get the word out, recruit more adults and youth to scouting. I go back to the website, and I was checking that out this week as I was preparing for the show. That's etexscouts.org, and the website locally is set up. There's a lot of information on there, but it appears mainly to be for people who are already involved in scouting or who are very much interested or might have a good interest in getting involved with scouting. And do you find that people are using that website more, possibly using your Facebook page? Do you feel that that's a good recruiting tool for people right now? Is it working for you?
It is, because we've sort of divided into two segments, right? So if you're already a part of scouting, you're going to etexscouts.org.
Mm-hmm.
If you're looking to find more information about signing up, you would go to beascout.org.
Okay.
So BEAScout.org.
All right.
And that's going to give you information about sort of who's meeting in your area, what are their meeting times, what do they do, here's some ideas of activities, and really what the different programs we offer are. So that's sort of the more publicly facing site.
Okay. So BEAScout.org, that's probably a website that we should have mentioned earlier on in the show. ETechScouts.org is mainly for people already involved with the program, although there are availabilities for people who want to get involved. I noticed there's a register button on there as well. And then BEAScout.org, I'll mention that again because I'm a little late to the party as far as bringing that one up. And that's mainly for people who are new to the scouting program. Of course, you can always call 903-597-7201. Or drop by the scouting office. Well, office hours, what,
8:30 to 5.
8:30 to 5, Monday through Friday. You can always drop by there, and certainly a lot new to see in the new scouting office on East 5th Street. Boy Scouts, Cubs, Explorers, Venture Scouting, and Sea Scouts. Is East Texas strong in all of those areas? You know, you would think that Sea Scouts might not, it might not necessarily be that strong because we're not close to the sea, but I believe that there's there are some availabilities there as well.
We actually have two Sea Scout ships that we serve, one on Lake Palestine, one on Lake Tyler, and both of them are actually very strong programs. You know, the one in Palestine is one of the older Sea Scout ships in Texas, and so they race competitively either through the Sea Scout base in Galveston. They were the national flagship 2 years ago. So we actually have a, you know, you wouldn't think in a landlocked area that we would be so strong, but two excellent Sea Scout ships.
Okay. So they do use the Gulf of Mexico pretty much, or do they use any of the area lakes, or is it strictly a Sea Scout or Gulf of Mexico Scout type operation?
Well, I mean, we teach general nautical skills, and so the idea would be you could apply that to sort of any circumstance. They're going to work on small craft, mostly sailing, all the way up to, you know, full-size large craft that they can operate. So Sea Scouts will give that full range, freshwater, saltwater. I mean, if you really want that nautical experience, you're really into boating and navigation, you know, Sea Scouting is a almost as old a program as traditional Boy Scouting is.
All right. And you start off in Cubs, and then you move on up to Boy Scouts, at least if you follow the traditional motto, exploring the program that I was involved in Jacksonville and Palestine for a number of years. That was the initial foray into coeducational scouting, I guess, back around 1970, if I have my time frame exactly right. And then venture scouting. I think that didn't that kind of split off from exploring at some point?
Right. In the 1998.
Okay. So that the venture scouting is the which one is the career-oriented scouting now?
Exploring. Workforce development.
Okay. Workforce development is exploring, and then venture scouting is it has a high adventure post.
Exactly.
Things that used to be part of the exploring program. So you've actually expanded and split up a little bit more and broadened over the years. Somebody wants to get involved in scouting, and this is just kind of for review. The first thing they probably need to do is either give you a call at 903-597-7201, or they can just go to that website, beascout.org, or etechscouts.org if they're interested in learning more about that. That would be the correct first step, right?
Right, yeah. Familiarize yourself a little bit with sort of what our offerings are. Well, then please feel free to reach out to us.
Traditionally, you go from Cub Scouts up through Boy Scouts, but you don't have to do that either. You don't have to go through Cub Scouting to be in Boy Scouts.
No, it's never too late to join. And, you know, you may not have had the opportunity in elementary school. You may be new to the area. But you can jump in at any point. And you really want to find which program that works best for you. You know, we have high school kids who may have missed out on some of the middle school opportunities for Boy Scouts or Scouts BSA, but are really drawn to the whitewater rafting and the rock climbing and all the things that venturing, you know, offers.
Okay, very good. And we're just about out of time this morning. Daniel Anderson with the Boy Scouts of America, our guest this morning. Once again, etechscouts.org or beascout.org, the website. Phone number is 903-597-7201. And don't forget that brand spanking new or newly renovated facility on East 5th Street, 1331 East 5th Street. You can drop on by and see it for yourself. Boy Scouts certainly welcome you to do that. Daniel, always a pleasure to visit with you.
John, great to be here. Thanks so much to have the opportunity to talk about scouting.
You bet. Daniel Anderson with the Boy Scouts, our guest this morning. I'm John Sims. Thanks for joining us, and we'll see you again next week on In Focus.